All right, hon. I'll get my little box out.
Okay, okay.
My
cassette. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just because I want to hear it tonight.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Elias.
What shall we discuss?
Well, I'm excited because I had a lot of ideas, a lot of things, and they were all percolating away. But I'll start with some very simple, basic things. Could you give me my mother's, Eileen's, essence name? I know she's Sumatra. Could you give me her essence name?
Essence name, Janelle. J E A N E L L E.
But you said it Janelle as in French, almost like a French pronunciation? Okay. Thank you. And then I have this friend, her name is Stephanie Janice, and she and I have recently collaborated on some projects, and I was wondering. Is she a Borladim Samari line? Is she, is
yes.
Really? And I thought she might be soft and emotional.
Correct.
Really? Oh, wow. She's just wonderful. I wanted to ask a few questions about her, but I'll go to it later. I have a little system here to approach. Well, to start with, I tried using a pendulum a few times, and I wanted to ask you, what is it about the pendulum that never seems to work for me? It goes one way or the other way. It's just a kind of playful thing.
Pendulums can be tricky.
Okay.
But they are very influenced by the energy that is in physical proximity to them. Therefore, to engage a pendulum effectively and efficiently, the individual would practice neutralizing their own energy. And what is meant by that is that you suspend the pendulum, you put forth your intention or your question, and subsequent to that presentment, remove yourself momentarily from the pendulum. Contain your own energy. Be very self-aware and aware of your own energy, neutralizing it in a manner that suspends wants, wishes, opinions, or leanings in any direction, and in addition to that, generating a type of self buffer. Now, this is not an actual buffer, or buffering is an action that you do in relation to outside energies, generally speaking, with other individuals. But you can create a type of self-buffering, which is an action in which you contain your energy fields momentarily. this is not an action that you will necessarily incorporate the ability to sustain.
Right.
But momentarily, you can generate a visualization, perhaps of some type of container, such as a bubble, that you can place yourself and your energy field within, therefore containing it, and somewhat in close proximity to your body consciousness. Individuals' energy fields vary in how extended they are from the physical body consciousness. And that extension also varies in relation to what the individual is experiencing or feeling. Therefore, it is first important to neutralize those factors, suspending momentarily feelings, opinions, wants, wishes, leanings in any direction, and subsequent to that, generating this temporary containment or barrier of your own energy. That will allow your energy to be receded from the area surrounding the pendulum. If the pendulum is allowed to occupy what you would term to be a free space, it will be much more effective, for it is not being influenced by the push of your energy. The free space should consist of an area that is the volume of the circumference of however far the pendulum can extend from its suspended point. Whatever distance is the farthest that it itself can extend in circumference is the area of the free zone, so to speak.
Outside the bubble itself. Outside of your bubble.
Yes.
That's the free zone. Outside
yes.
The bubble that you set.
Yes. Yes.
That
your energy will not penetrate this free area of the pendulum. This is the difficulty with most individuals with a pendulum, that it is responding or reacting to the individual's energy. Now, let me also express to you that other energies can also be influencing with a pendulum. Therefore, it is also important to place the pendulum in an area in which other energies will not interfere, such as in different areas of your home, there will be energy deposits.
Yes, that's right.
Whether they be from yourself or from other individuals, there will be energy deposits. Therefore, the pendulum should be suspended in an area in which there is not an energy deposit. Also, in an area in which no other individual will move into that vibratory zone. Therefore, no other individual's energy will penetrate into that free area. That will allow the pendulum to respond to intention without being influenced by any expressed projected energies. Which can also occur with creatures. They can enter into that free zone and influence the movement of the pendulum. Generally speaking, creatures' energy fields do not fluctuate as much as humans. Their energy fields are more consistent. Therefore, a creature's energy field generally extends from their physical body consciousness approximately 0.5 meters.
Okay.
Therefore, considering that account of the body consciousness and the extension of the energy field of slightly less than 0.5 meters in any direction from body consciousness, that distance should not penetrate into the free area.
Understood. And finally, does it matter what you use as the pendulum?
That is an interesting question. For it can. Generally speaking, what you recognize as a quartz crystal is effective and efficient. But dependent upon what your intention is, if the intention concerns feelings or what you identify as emotions, a citrine crystal would be more effective. If the intention involves body consciousness, a rose quartz crystal would be more effective. But these crystals are more specific. They are not as effective in other subject matters or in general subjects. They are more specifically aligned to their own subject, being body consciousness or feelings, other than those two subjects. Quartz crystals are very effective, and amethyst can also be very effective. It generates very similar to a quartz crystal, but it can be more responsive to subtle implications or alterations or amethyst crystals are sensitive to temperature, which would not necessarily automatically be a consideration, but it is a significant variable for, dependent upon the subject that you are presenting as your intention, your body consciousness alters temperature. And amethysts are very sensitive to very slight alterations in temperature. Therefore, they are sensitive to nuance, which can enhance a response, which would be perhaps slightly more detailed than the quartz crystal. Now, also, I would express that the dimension or the size of the crystal can be a factor, which is also another factor that most individuals do not necessarily consider. But the smaller the crystal, the less effective it will be with complex questions. Now, this is not to say that you must necessitate graduating to larger and larger and larger crystals, but optimally, the intermediate-sized crystal, perhaps centimeters would be an effective choice. Smaller, such as perhaps 10 centimeters, are effective, but less so in complex intentions.
Nice. I've done a lot of work with quartz crystals, and I actually am using an alexandrite in the current pendulum, which fluctuates with sun and light. And it felt very responsive to me personally, just like this vibe from the thing. It hangs on a gold chain, and it isn't shaped like a crystal, it's cut like a piece of jewelry. But there's something about it that feels appropriate. Would that be...
And what is the dimension of this particular alexandrite?
It's about an inch by about 5/8. I actually have it here. So I can actually contact it with my hands while we're talking. And it's a flattened crystal facing down. And it's like about an inch by half an inch approximately. Here it is. And, but I'm having fluctuation madly with it. And yet I feel an affinity. Now, if you go to the crystals that are clear, this may have energy deposits now, which I'd have to sort of cleanse through the system of the crystal.
What I would
yes.
suggest
yes.
is that you alter the chain that you may incorporate more success without the interference of so much gold, that the gold acts as a container. And therefore does not allow the stone to flow as naturally as it would itself. Therefore, I would suggest that you alter the suspension of it.
And it's a circular motion that it feeds back as opposed to a...
It can, in either direction, it can generate a circular motion, or it can move back and forth, or it can pop. It can bounce.
Okay. I hear you.
Therefore, it is a matter of what the intention is, how strong the intention is, and how the stone is receiving that. That stone is a smaller dimension. That stone would be a less than 10 centimeters. And in that, it would not be as effective in more complex intentions.
Clear quartz is also, I worked with boba crystals. They were deliberately created with plain surfaces so that there was a C-axis, you know, a very technical way to approach. And then I put my mouth to the crystal and I would hum and tone. And I could generate a volumetric opening where I knew I was in resonance with the crystal.
Yes.
And so I had this relationship that I developed with all these different stones and crystals, and they would talk a little bit to me, direct me a little bit.
That actually is an excellent method in establishing a resonance. Mm-hmm. By generating a vibrational tone and feeling whether that particular stone resonates with that vibration.
And these vocals are okay. They seem like lasers, actually. If you hold them up, compared to a natural crystal, there's an intense white burning, you know, they're sort of so focused. Maybe they're good for the more complex stuff. Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, now I have some fun things to talk about.
Very
it's
well.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you. Oh, my heart is just so happy. A happy heart. And so I'm in my basement on my computer looking at a very interesting YouTube, and it's inspired me to some sculpting. And then there's a pop in my kitchen. At first I didn't know where it was. A giant. What the heck is that, I say to myself. So I start to investigate the area. Nothing is amiss. Nothing has fallen over. And I go upstairs, and off the counter by my sink, a beautiful glass cylinder. It's called a Galileo lamp. It has, it's like a lava lamp with temperature flow. It almost has a crystalline quality. So I'm talking about crystal. I love the thing. Dragged it all from house to house. It goes up, it goes down. I know when I'm freezing by looking at it. I just love it. It's colorful. It's just a joy. The thing has somehow leapt off this thing, and it's in the middle of the floor, crashed. I'm nowhere near it. There are no winds, nothing. And I wanted you to elucidate. I mean, I was just, what? There it was, this event. Like you to just comment, say anything you wish.
I would express that this is quite timely.
Okay.
For this would be very much associated with what I shall be discussing on tomorrow.
Okay.
In our group interaction in relation to this new wave. And in this, I would express that the current says, can be interesting and fun dependent upon how you perceive them. If you allow yourself to move in the directions of bothersome or distress, this present wave can incorporate a potential to be considerably distressing. But this present wave also incorporates a considerable potential to be quite entertaining and fun. But in this, what you are and will be addressing to is the impossible.
Oh, Elias, I have to tell you something else so crazy. I heard one of your sessions, or read, where a lady was finding 40 clovers in her yard, and she loved them. I can't remember the details, but I have collected 40 clovers for 40 years, and I find fives and sixes and sevens, and they're a particular clover, and never have I found in 40 years a species of clover that's shaped like a heart. It's always a trefoil, a tri-shaped axis. Never in all the awareness and looking and search I've ever found that I was inspired by this wonderful session. Out into the yard I go. And there on the ground is a five-leaf, not a four-leaf, a five-leaf of this species. I just immediately knew it was just so big. I immediately knew it was a breakthrough. I knew it was such a shift in the limited self that I experienced. That I was moving into the impossible. Exactly. This was for me. I would have been delighted with a four. But a five. I dug it up. I brought it in the house. I treated it like a pet. I put it in my car. I showed my friends. Nobody got it. Nobody got it. But then the most remarkable thing happened. It happened again. I can't tell you. Twice. It was just, it blew me away. And I just knew I had entered a new period. Completely. Where the limitations of the life were about to really shift. And that I could see the connection in that creation. Of course, there are many dreams and desires and wishes where it would be wonderful to see those kinds of shifts and changes. So now my question is, in small ways, I presented it. But, I mean, I was so delighted. My heart was just so happy with this little teeny-weeny thought. So my question is, would that ever be reflected in this larger arena?
Yes. Yeah. And you are beginning to move in this direction, and this new wave will be helpful in influencing all of you to move in this direction more, and to generate more openness to the possibility that the impossible is possible.
That is such a marvelous, magical Harry Potter thing.
And this wave incorporates a tremendous potential to be magical.
Oh, what wonderful, wonderful word. Oh, wow. When my Galileo lamp exploded, it was my project that I was working on in sculpting. When that happened, so I have partly worked on a book that's a magical type book, and the impetus, there's there feels in my life less of a fence or a boundary to step into the impossible. It feels like I can do this. Yes, I can do that. Okay, this is fun to do. I can do that. So I feel like, and would you acknowledge this, that there is the potential to write this wonderful children's book?
Very much so.
And may I add that the materials are very much in alignment with what happens here in sessions, in all the foundation of knowledge that you have slowly, methodically brought into this physical reality for us to hear, that we drawn through. Okay.
Which can translate quite colorfully into that type of genre.
Yes, so wonderful. I'm so pleased. I never felt I could write. I have historically tremendous, but now it feels like a flow is going to, just the fun of it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I remember the mink butterfly you spoke to someone about. It just felt, Sandra, Let it flow. Let it go. Oh, I'm so thrilled. Thank you.
Which is also a creative avenue in which to share.
Yes.
And to experience your interconnectedness.
Yes. And that's the goal with this. Is everywhere I go, I see flocks of birds every day. And they just feel like, oh, there we go. Birds of a feather flock together. And they're in the sky, and then they're on lampposts, or they're in Sam's warehouse where I shop. Little flocks of birds over in the rafters. And that's how I feel connected through my birds, through my clover, through the writing, through the toys I make, the sculpting. I see my hands going to the work with my intention and going to the world. You know, and it's very gratifying, very gratifying. So thank you, thank you. Oh, what a thrill. I can hardly sit here anymore. So
the happy. Elf in human clothing.
Yes! Exactly! And you're there with me, Elias. You are right there.
Quite so.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear this. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how joyful. Well, alrighty. I promised my son I would bring up on some of his concerns. It's a very different color and vibration than what we've been through. But, and yet somehow this affects him too, because I feel that the energy I am now is no longer I'm spiritual or I'm tuned in, or working, or it's not fragmented. There's this awareness that the engagement of this flow is much more part of my life, spontaneous. So I have a son, he's in Egypt. He's studying. Historically, he's been challenging for me, Sandra, to the mom part of Sandra, to deal with through life, right? And then I have this role, part of the belief systems I have about being a mother and this whole dynamic that has developed over time with this boy. He's now a young man. He's studying Islamic architecture. He doesn't feel supported by the milieu. It's not a popular area. It doesn't seem to have practical applications as far as the milieu is concerned. And yet he loves it. So he stays in an extremely difficult, physical, challenging environment, and he still plugs away. And all along, he creates health toxic reactions to all sorts of things in the environment that become somewhat life-threatening, and he's far away. So then he communicates with these difficulties to me by phone, and of course there's this shock, emotional challenge that I feel. This is my kid, he's far away, how can I help? And then the feeling of I'm powerless, I can't bring in any kind of knowledge or drug or a gentle hand on him to say it's going to be okay or get him to a hospital, nothing. So then I have to go completely into this mode of turning it over to this aspect of self in which there's just trust, and understanding all the things I've read about, it really isn't a death. This is just an experience. And so I calm myself back down. But my question would be, since this is the scenario, what would be the effective way to deal with him, or the most helpful?
First of all, what does he want?
You want me to answer that now?
What does he want when he engages you and he is expressing perhaps his own concerns, or he is relaying his experience and situation? What does he want?
He wants understanding, he wants support, and he wants a way to relieve himself. It feels like if someone is pain or difficulty, then often it's followed maybe by directions. What would you do? What should I do? Which there's an interplay there. And then it's basically the feeling I have of always trying to point him to going in to get some kind of direction. How do you feel about this decision, Mary? How do you feel about that decision? And then there are many offerings, you know, directions. There's always this feeling of trying to get him to get out of a black and white approach into maybe there's more than one possibility. I think he wants that, but I'm not sure. I'm giving you what I think he would like, what I sense he would
like. I would express to you the first point would be to ask, what does he want? And to ask, what does he perceive would be the most supportive action for you to do? That would be the first direction that I would suggest. But if he is engaging you, it is obvious that he does want. But what he wants is the question. You guessing what he wants is ineffectual. And it encourages you to generate responses and reactions that are based in your own guidelines of what you would do or what you would want, regardless that you may be thinking that this is what he wants or this is what he should do.
Yes.
It is based in your own guidelines. Therefore, in requesting from him what he wants and what is important to him, which may be two very different subjects, but what he wants may not be the same as what is important to him.
An example? He wants?
He may want health.
Okay.
but there may be other expressions that are important to him that will override the health.
Yes, yes.
The health may not be as important.
Yes, you're right, right. I see that.
Therefore, for you wanting to be supportive, it is significant to establish within yourself a recognition of what he wants and what is important to him. In this, you can address to each as its own subject. Therefore, when you are engaging conversation with him, you can address to one subject, what do you want? And you can evaluate that, and you can explore that.
Okay.
Subsequently, you can move into what is important to you, and you can explore that subject. And with the two subjects, you can subsequently evaluate which aspects of those two subjects can you combine? For there may be many aspects that you cannot combine, that they may be in opposition to each other. But there may be some aspects that you can combine. He is requesting input from you by asking, what do you think, or what would you do? When an individual presents that type of question, this is purposeful. They want your input. Well, what they are doing is evaluating your guidelines with their own guidelines. They are viewing your input, knowing that your input is being generated by your own guidelines, but also with somewhat of an understanding within themselves, not within thinking, but within themselves, that they also are moving in relation to their own guideline, and therefore they may not necessarily see all of the avenues that are available to them. That some directions, some ideas may not necessarily occur to them themselves. Therefore, they are seeking other input, which is what he is doing with you, which is the reason that he is asking. Now, the common difficulty with this type of dynamic is that the individual in your position generally is thinking about their answer to those questions and attempting to evaluate what would be best for the other individual. The other individual is not requesting that information. He already knows what his ideas are. He wants to know what your ideas are. For that offers a comparison. it offers other input that he would not necessarily present to himself. This is your opportunity to share your direction, not with the expectation that he will implement that, but recognizing that he is requesting that you step into a role to offer other outside information that he would not necessarily present to himself alone.
Okay.
Just as you may read a book, or he may read a book, to offer yourself other information. Or you may discuss crystals with myself to offer yourself other information. You are not looking to myself to respond to you in what you already know or in what you want to hear. You are looking to myself to offer you information that you may not necessarily present to yourself automatically. He is doing the same. In this, you can be supportive by offering that input and by being you, which, naturally being you, you do look beyond the black and white. You do enjoy exploring the possibilities of other answers or other directions. He may not choose to absorb that and implement that, but it does offer him an encouragement to question and to evaluate that there may be more than one answer. There may be more than two answers. And even if he does not know what the more than two answers is, it encourages him to entertain the possibility that there are other answers and they may be presented to him in manners that he may not expect. In this, I would encourage you to request information from him to allow you a broader spectrum to engage. Now in this, I will also express to you one of the challenging and sometimes difficult directions to engage is to accept what the other individual expresses that they want. What the other individual may express what I want is for you to talk to me. Or they may express the manner in which you can be supportive is to listen. Those responses in many situations seem unsatisfying. Or you, as the parent, want to do more. Or you think, related to associations, that speaking or listening is not much. You are not actively engaging. You are not doing an action. You are doing an action and you are actively engaging, but it seems that it is not as valuable or not as much, not as interactive, and that it is not as valuable. That being in physical proximity and fixing him a meal or driving him to a particular location or accompanying him to a physician, those would be definite interactive and supportive actions, not necessarily. And what may actually be a more expressive support may be to be talking or listening.
There's a reason he is where he is. And he generates out-of-the-box thought very surprisingly sometimes. And I even like him. I delight in him. But on the route to get to these things that he wants to actualize, there's a lot of stuff. And, you know, he is sick right now. And it's very troublesome for him. My question is, I see intuitively an okay outcome. And can I trust my intuition? I wonder where the crystal ball is here with you. I always get a little nervous.
Yes, you can trust your intuition.
Yes, my intuition that this is fine. He also would like to move into continuing to study what he loves. I would love to hear that. So if you want, what could be more gratifying than doing what you are doing? He has imaginative ideas of still staying out of the United States. I had he was in high school at a junior prom store buying a tux. And there I saw a vision of him dancing with a woman, a partner, but definitely out of this country for a long period of time, in the world, bridging and healing some kind of force. Two different forces that he could bridge because of his unique insight and training and experience. And I saw that so clearly. It's always there around him. And I trust that vision. And I said that. Something that I trust.
Okay, yes.
I love this little acknowledgement here of some of these things that I see. And then they give me great peace because that's really what the love is. It's the allowance of the other individual to have this freedom of expression. And allowing it, and loving it, and trusting it, no matter how I would frame it with beliefs. Somehow, just dropping in with it. And I love what happens here because this whole body of information that you brought forth and that you asked for has been so liberating, deeply liberating and opening, and so tremendous appreciation for this time. I'm ready to take a point. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, my dear friend. Be greatly encouraged. And that encouragement perhaps spread the playfulness across the sea to the foreign lands and to your son, encouraging that fun and playfulness and mystery and wonder that magic is more present than you think.
Wonderful.
You are very welcome, my dear friend. I greatly anticipate our next meeting.
Thank you so much.
To you in tremendous appreciation and great lovingness as always.
Yes. Au revoir. Au revoir. Thank you, Eli. Thank you.
Oh.